Jack Sarr is going to come and speak for us for today. He's a good longtime friend. He's, as Richard was saying, he's president of a Bethlehem Bible College, and he was pastor of the Alliance Church in the Old City for a long time, and he has a ministry all over the West Bank and in Jerusalem and other parts of the country that he's very active in, and gets to speak all over, and you could go on and on about tremendous ministry that he's involved in. I'll just tell one story about Jack that he doesn't even remember, but a few years ago when I was working for a newspaper, I brought one of my colleagues to interview him, and I don't even remember exactly why we chose to interview Jack. It was about something political, but somehow I finagled it so that I could get him to tell a little bit of his testimony. It wasn't really related to why we were interviewing him, but I thought it'd be neat if he could squeeze his testimony in there. My colleague is completely secular, and so I thought it would be neat for that to happen. And so he talked a little bit about how he was active in the First Intifada and how God had changed his life. When we were driving away, she was just saying, wow, he was talking about how, and, you know, we had met people who had been active as militants and had since left and maybe joined an NGO and, you know, left violent ways, but she was saying about Jack that, you know, wow, you don't detect an ounce of anger or hatred or anything. There's just he even seems to have a positive feeling towards the other side. Like, is that because he's like one of your kind of people? She knew that I was Christian and religious, and so I said, well, yeah. I counted it an honor to be considered one of Jack's kind of people. One other little anecdote about the kind of people that Jack is. He's a minister, and growing up as a minister's son, there are a lot of ministers in this country, and a lot of ministers' kids end up really messed up, either because A, this country is just a difficult country, and ministry is just very difficult, and it's hard to do both ministry and be a good parent, but having had the really great opportunity to be able to be in Jack's home and pray with them, both Jack and his wife Madeleine have just a beautiful relationship with their kids, and just to be able to see how they just kind of, as they're praying or just speaking with us, and we'll be praying and their kids kind of walk in and out, join the prayer meeting, and then walk back out, just have a really, really special relationship with their kids, and that's miraculous to see ministers who have both a tremendous ministry and a healthy relationship with their kids. Is, I think, you know there's something special going on. So anyway, I just wanted to embarrass Jack with those two stories, but we're happy to have you there, Jack, to share with us. Thanks.
Good morning and Shabbat Shalom to all, and it's a neat opportunity for me to share this meeting with you and be able to bring the Word of God to us in this day. And thank you, Danny, for this long introduction. I just forgot all this story about this reporter, because I get interviewed a lot, and I really like every opportunity, especially if they're not believers, at least to share the love of Christ with these guys, because as much as I want to see everybody almost really support and love the body of Christ in this land, which is in the deepest need at this time and every time for any kind of peacemakers, because blessed are those who are peacemakers in every circumstance. It's an honor to be with you. I basically want to bring to us the Word of God. That's what I want to do. And as a pastor, as a man who loves the Word of God, I think always the Word of God is for every time and for every meeting and for every time that we could sit together to reflect on it, to see what it tells us for the future. I think that's where we should draw. That's the well where we could draw from. So would you pause just for a few seconds and within your heart just pray, Lord, may your words become like seeds into my heart and may they bring forth a harvest for your kingdom as I live for you. Just pray it within your heart. Just pray for yourself that whatever is said today will have a place in all of our hearts. Speak to us, Lord, this morning, we ask. We prepare our hearts as a good soil. May you plant your seeds to bring fruit for your glory. Amen. One of the most undisputed issues in our days and age is the need for the church to build relationships and partnerships under the banner of love and unity. And when I was praying about what, Lord, should I speak in this congregation here, as it is more of like in-between congregation. It's not a messianic congregation, neither it is an Arab congregation where I'm most common used to preach. I felt the Lord is really guiding my heart and my thoughts and my direction of preparing a message basically about the unity of the body of Christ. And I wanted to reflect on the Jesus prayer for unity starting from John 17. And as the old saying goes, united we stand, divided we fall, for those who know it. And it's not just a saying, it's really, we should think about it as well we do church and we pray and we sit together in such meetings. And because it is my faith, fellow believers, that one of the key elements for revival anywhere in the world and in any church, and specifically in a country like ours in the Holy Land, is the unity of the body of Christ across all borders. I say it again, one of the key, if not the key element for revival in this country, specifically the Holy Land here, Israel, Palestine, is the unity of the body of Christ across all borders. That's why I stand before you as a Palestinian leader saying to you that one of these key elements is to see our churches, as I represent the Palestinian church and I see the Messianic church as well, coming together in unity. A unity that transcends political and cultural viewpoint and has a banner called love that covers all sins. This is something I would work for. This is something I want to encourage other believers to do. This is something I want to fight to, and even if it has to do that I have to endure a stigma, words and blame and all sorts of things, because sometimes when you want to stand in the middle and start to bridge things, a lot of times you're blamed by one of the sides, either a traitor or a collaborator or whatever from words that they use. And sometimes, and a lot of times, you're misunderstood on both sides as well. So, blessed are those the peacemakers. That's why probably the Lord is really saying, blessed are those the peacemakers. Because a lot of times, they don't get blessed by those that they're making peace for. We are the church of the 21st century. And we want to be awakened to the fact that our deepest need to be united in love and ministry to our Lord Jesus. And when I say the church, we have to realize that there is only one church in the world. When I say the body of Christ, we have to realize that there is one body of Christ in the world. God see us as one church. And as I look at the church across the board, this God does not see us as churches or bodies of Christ. He sees us as body, one body with several parts for this body. Even our enemies see us as one church. I remember just not a long time ago when your church was attacked, or you know, slogans or things were written here. And just not a long time ago, our church was attacked nearby in this neighborhood with fire bombs and so on. And the attacks that come from the enemy proves to us that the church is one. He sees us as one. And the problem is that in a lot of times within the body of Christ, we don't capture that vision of unity and oneness in Christ. And that's why we need always and always to be reminded that we as an individual and as a group and as a church and as a congregation, we're not separated, we're not isolated, we're not just a body that or a part that function on its own. We are part of one body that is worldwide, and then that is you get to focus. Could be here in one church or in one region or one city or one country, then a whole world, body of Christ. And we need to operate on that worldview of what I call a kingdom mentality worldview. Because it could become that easily we could be trapped in such what I would say my ethnic worldview. Or my church worldview. Although I represent a denomination that is here in the country and that is a worldwide, I still don't see this denomination as the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is much bigger than my church, my denomination, my country, and even any other country. Would you say amen to this? John 17, and I will read with you from verse 20 onward. And it's very important to pay attention to these words, because these are not the words of just any apostle. These are not just the words of anyone that God used to write. These are like what we call a red color words, because they are the sayings of Jesus himself. Actually, you know, we all know that probably John 17 is the longest recorded prayer for Jesus, and it is common that it is called usually the high priest prayer or the priestly prayer, because it is the high priest that is praying for his people, not only those disciples that were with him, but in fact everyone who believed in the gospel across all borders along all the centuries. So this prayer is effectual not only for a setting that he wanted, just because his disciples were fighting who would be sitting on his right or left, or his disciples were fighting who would be walking with him or who would be nearest to him. No. This is something much bigger, longer, wider, deeper, higher. I have a King James version here, so forgive me if you are you prefer an easier language. I was Richard lend me this Bible, so bear with me. Starting verse 20, say, neither pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now, of course, if you're smart enough, and even if you're not smart enough, you realize that this verse speaks of whom? Of us. Does it or not? It does speak of us, because it is us that believed because of the word of the apostles. Our faith is built on the writings, on the faith, on the foundations of the apostles. And that's why we are covered by all means by these words. that they all may be one, as thou, Father, or your Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou givest to me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you hast sent me, and hast loved me as you have loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may be behold my glory, which you have given to me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you, and you, they knew that you sent me. And I have declared unto them your name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith you loved me with, I may be in them, and I in them. Such a powerful words uttered from the lips of the righteous one, the lips of the one who not long from now will be celebrating, will be remembering, will be reflecting on the utmost sacrifice that was offered here in Jerusalem at the cross of Calvary, where that sacrifice became a sacrifice that not only those who were near that sacrifice benefited from it, but it became a sacrifice that is for all the centuries and everyone who believed in Jesus. Sacrifice that covers the sins of many. Sacrifice that saved the many. Sacrifice that was paid because of my sin and your sin and your sin. Because of our sin, because of the sin of the world, because of the sin of Adam and Eve, because of the sin of all people who lived across centuries. Sacrifice that is so expensive. Sacrifice that costs the most expensive price that God had paid. And why was that? Yes, because God so loved the world that He didn't want anyone, no one should perish but shall have eternal life. So that whoever believes in Him becomes son, become daughter, become one of the kingdom that God is building. Because when God's intention and God's heart to start at the Garden of Eden, it was His intention to create a family, a united family that carries His name, that carries His love, that lives in a continuous relationship and fellowship with Himself. And this is what we call the reason for creation. It is almost looks like an egoistic kind of purpose that God had created the people so that they would become in fellowship with Him. But it's just much more far beyond this reason. The high priest prayer here, he's interceding that may those who believe in me become one and go back again on the road almost to the Garden of Eden, where it all started. And we know that one day as we look at the future and as the book of Revelation just plays or puts this picture before us, that this will happen, that everyone from every tribe, from every nation, from every tongue, from any across all borders will come around that lamb that was sacrificed for us, praying the same prayer, probably with his own tongue or her own tongue, but yet it is a unity that is reflected as it was intended from the beginning. No eyes have seen, no ears have heard yet what God has in His heart in store for all of us. It's yet to come. You know, whatever we experience now from love and from understanding, from, you know, people that gives us meaning and we give meaning to others, still yet a taste of what yet to come. And we are waiting for that day. I'm waiting for that day. Are you waiting for that day? When we will all really will become a real one unity around that lamb that was slain for you and me. But till then, we have a role that we have to play. Till then, there is a mandate almost upon our lives. A calling to live as a living testimony of the goodness and the mercies of our God. Wherever we are, in whatever context we are, in whatever domain you are part of, you have to reflect His goodness. Whether by words, or much even better, by deeds. Because that's how it should be. By this they know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. By this they know that you are His disciples. When they see your good deeds, your good works, you know what they will do? They will glorify your Father who art in heaven. Are you with me this morning? Just amen with me, or just, you know. I'm sorry, I come from more of a charismatic kind of a church, so I'm not used to just people listening without at least giving me an amen or, you know, a hallelujah or, you know. There should be and there shall be one flock and one shepherd, Jesus said in John 10:16. In John 17:21, the verse that I just read, that they may be one, that was His heart. Remember, when someone is about to go to the cross and it is just one day ahead or one night ahead of him, you know, the last words that is saying is the most important words that anyone could say before his death. And the most thing that comes up in this prayer, as if it was the bulk, as if it was the peak, the real important thing within all that prayer in John 17, is the unity of His followers. And this could be translated across all borders. Unity of the family, unity of the Christian family, unity of the church, but more, however, than unity across borders. And borders that are divided most times with animosity. Like the ones that I live in here in this country. Paul also reminded the Corinthian church, who are called to be saints, in 1 Corinthians 1:10. A verse which plays into this topic, subject, that we're discussing this morning. He says, you are called to be saints together with all those who in every place, all on the name of the Lord, both their Lord and ours, that then He writes to them to the same church, I appeal to you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no dissensions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. And if you read through the New Testament, Just letter after letter, you cannot ignore how much either Paul or Peter or James are talking about the importance of love and unity within the body of Christ. Because they have seen it. They have felt it. They have heard it firsthand. And they, as they went about doing their own ministry, they knew how much unity could really bring about fruit for the kingdom of God. And of course, unity is the bigger word, but then how could be applied in a smaller context, the context that we all live in? Because a lot of times we see ourselves, you know, pulled in, pulled out into all different directions. And a lot of times these directions will put us in a location where you have to take almost a stand for or anti. And that's when the conflict in our hearts come to make a decision on what position should I place myself. You know, A lot of times, one main thing that bugs me as a pastor, as a leader, is how much there was external factors to break the fellowship of the Palestinian church with the Messianic Jewish one. There are people on both sides who want to almost tear the relationship that are there. You know, politics, money, dirty demeanors for Israel lover people or Palestine lover people who at the end they're causing strife within the body of Christ. I'm speaking now as, you know, as part of my experience in living on the almost on this side and sometimes on this side. I think they should look at John 17 and reflect on the beauty of what that means, that when I or my church or your church or other ministries unite with other churches, unite in love, partner and minister, and seek together to bring good news to the lost amongst the prospective people groups. Me and some of the brothers here, I see Jim here and others, we just got back from a retreat called Saif, which means sitting at Yeshua's feet. And on that retreat, one of the things, you know, everything goes there is very secret, but one thing that I could tell you about, that there was this kind of heart that is eager. There was about probably 50 of us, probably around 40 Messianic leaders and internationals and about 7-8 Arab leaders in there, just praying and seeking the Lord for ourselves personally and for the body of Christ in the land. And one main thing that kept coming up from one here and one there, saying how beautiful it is if we see Jewish believers in Christ go and witness and minister to the Palestinian people. And then others would say, and how beautiful it is to see Palestinian believers go and minister and witness to the Jewish people. And I just took capture of this is a line that I've been preaching about, and a lot of times I say, just imagine a revival that hits the Palestinian people or a revival that by God's grace will come and hit the Jewish people. You know whom the first people they will go to minister to? It is their enemies. But I'm not going to wait for that. I want to start it now. And I would want you as well to pray for that to happen now. Because you wouldn't believe the effect of that when your enemy comes to love you and share with you the gospel. Amen or not? Please pray for that. Because then it just reflects the heart of God for the salvation of the nations. You know, when we come closer to God and our relationship with Him become closer, you start hearing the heartbeat of God, and the heartbeat of God goes after the salvation of the nations. And we should tune into that. We should tune into the heartbeat of God for the lost world that is there. That includes my people and everyone who lives in this land and around the globe. I think that's the utmost thing that we could live for. To see people come under the banner of that cross saying Jesus is Lord. For there will be a time where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. But we all know that this doesn't mean that all of them would confess His Lordship because of His love, rather because of fear. But we want people to come to Him in love, acknowledging Him that He is the Lord of Lords and He's the King of Kings. In order for us to do that, we have to live in unity. Remember that Psalm 133, just a beautiful psalm, where you know, the psalmist is just reflecting on this and singing of this. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in... I didn't hear you. In... I didn't hear you. In unity. It is like precious old oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on the Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows His blessing, even life forevermore. Because when there is unity, one of the automatic results of that unity is the salvation of people around that unity. What is more than life evermore? Jesus said it. John 10:10. You know, the evil one had came to destroy and kill and make people fight each other so that they will kill each other. But I came so that you will have life, or they will have life, and not just any life, but an abundant life. A life that is overflowing. A life that is overflowing. That just comes in tune with the last verse of that psalm that I just read for you, 133, where it says, "For the Lord bestows His blessing, even life forevermore." That's His heart, because, you know, a lot of testimonies, my testimony and things that I've seen, when there is unity in the body of Christ, there is automatic things that could happen. People start coming to you asking you about the secret of your life. And they will ask you about the reason of hope that lives in you. That lives in you. It does promises God favor on those who dwell in unity. Or that we would make it our claim and our aim that as we live here in this land or wherever you come from, whatever your perspective, place or church or ministry, that Lord, may you give me that strength. Because, you know, it is not just a lot of times, you know, I've been in prayer meetings for unity or reconciliation and we pray, Lord, bring unity, Lord, bring unity. And as if I was hearing the voice of the Lord saying, you make unity and I'll put my blessing on that. See, it is an action thing. It's not something that you have to wait for. It's not something that, because God's heart is unity. You know, that was what Jesus was basically giving us an example, or giving us a sample actually, of what that unity looks like. It's a unity between the Trinity. It's a unity between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, which He wants to pour on the peoples that follow Him. A unity that comes out of the Holy Spirit that is within us, that is in us. But we have at least to get rid of that sin of strife and hatred and sin that is always sometimes controls our mind to the point that we think that we are the only true people on earth. And when you say that, you're just blocking the blessings of God on your life. A.W. Tozer, an Alliance theologian that I love and I'm sure a lot of you know, commenting on that psalm that I just read for you, suggests that we think of the blessings of God flowing into us like electricity coming to our house. The power may be ready and waiting, but if a fuse is blown, the flow is stopped. Unity is the fuse between the power of God's Spirit and the benefits of electricity. Let us pray and labor for unity of heart and soul that draws God's blessing down on our head as the anointing oil on the priest. A.W. Tozer. We, like Jesus' original disciples, still have to live in this word. Have you ever wondered exactly what is the word that Jesus is talking about? It's the system of values that is typified by Satan himself, centered on greed, power, deceit, and self-will. You know, there is a world economy that is going on that we have to almost fight on a daily basis. Should I live in the world's economy or the kingdom's economy? You know, the world's economy would say, I would take what you have so that mine will become bigger. Kingdom economy would say, even if I have a little and you have more, I will give you what I have. That's the opposite side of what the world economy would say. You know, if you fall, I will step on you so that I'll become higher. Words Jesus' economy and the kingdom economy would say, I will fall for you so that you will become higher. Do you see the opposites of where we are living on? And we have opened a door for the world's economy and the world's values to come into our lives and our churches to divide us and tear us apart. And if we look at that, we see Satan, the accuser, who is the father of the strife that want to divide his people, God's people. That's why we have to almost stand and fight against it. While we are in the Word, Satan desires to do everything he can to destroy, neutralize, and render us totally ineffective for the cause of Christ. the church today. Today we find almost ourselves on a collision course with the word values. The word function in a different economy, as I said to you, of the body of Christ. So let us stand even against that as we come to pray. Say, Lord, just cleanse my mind from the word's values, and may your values and may your morals and may your ethics and may your word become just not part of me, just everything in me, so that I could function and live and talk and speak and walk like you, Jesus. You know, God is looking for people and churches that are full of him, rather than just coming here. You know why we come to church anyway? You know why we're living church anyway? If we're not living this fullness of God in everywhere we are, and specifically here as we come to the church, then we have missed it. This causes us to need the Lord's protection more and more. More and more increasingly, so that really we come to think of His Word. Let your mind think of that which is heavenly. And if I ask you, what is heavenly? That's the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ reflected in His words. When He talks about love, when He talks about forgiveness, when He talks about how we relate to each other, when he talks about humility, I could talk about sermons of what is the mind of Christ. I would wish maybe one day I would suggest for the pastors of the church, maybe just a series of sermons on the mind of Christ. And one of the small parts of the mind of Christ is the unity of His body. And how to live in that unity. Jesus knew exactly why this unity was of such vital importance. Because where there are clashes, you know, where there are competition between the churches, between the bodies of Christ, it causes the Christ or His body to be harmed. And as we read His prayer in our text, we quickly would come to a conclusion that we have done more to frustrate this particular prayer of our Lord than any other prayer that He prayed. Especially in every time, we are not causing or not becoming a bridge or peacemakers in the body of Christ. One wise man put it this way: how can a fighting, bickering, and a divided group of people take a message of love and unity with any credibility into a world that displays those same characteristics? Can I read it again? How can a fighting, bickering, and divided group of people take a message of love and unity with any credibility into a world that displays those same characteristics? If we want the church to become all that the Lord intended to be, then we need to unite around Jesus Christ. If there is a prayer meeting, if there is a meeting, if there is a whatever meeting you want to recall it, if Jesus is not the center of that meeting, then there is a problem. Today, let's discover, you know, what we said in this text. What is the unity and how Christ's love and life and everything He did could be a sample for us and how we could live as the body of Christ in this land. I had three uncles, and two of them, you know, as a lot of Christian families who lived here for many years, a lot of them have left the country, and my family have been almost stricken by this, that at least half of my family, if not more, have lived outside. So there is one uncle that stayed here, and I got to, basically, he was very close to our family, and he's an amazing storyteller. So as a little child, you know, I would always hang around him because I just enjoyed his stories. And one of the stories, his name is Uncle Simon, my uncle. He used to say this story to me, the story of the lion and the cows. I don't know if you know it, some of you might know it. And he used to tell us that there was four bulls which were great friends. They went everywhere together, fed together, and laid down to rest together, always keeping so close to each other that if any danger were near, they could all face it at once. Now there was a lion which had determined to have them for dinner, but he could never get them singly. He was a match for any one of them alone, but not for all four at the same time. However, he used to watch for his opportunity, and when one lagged the least bit behind the others, as they grazed, he would sneak up and whisper that the other bulls had been saying unkind things about him. You got the story so far? This he did so often that at last the four friends became uneasy. Each thought that the other three were plotting against him. Finally, as there was no trust left between them, they went off by themselves, their friendship broken. This was exactly what the lion had hoped to accomplish. One by one he killed them. They made four hearty meals for the lion. We believers in the Middle East need your prayers. We believers who are living in this region, in this area, and you as well, we need a lot of prayers. Because as we unite, we'll bring about salvation to our nations and to our people and to our respective people that we represent. As we live this unity of love that is based on the sacrifice that God had sacrificed on our behalf on the cross of Calvary, we're going to see amazing results for the kingdom. May the Lord change our minds so our mind will become more of a kingdom mentality mind. May the Lord change our hearts so that it will be full of love for every believer, respective of his color, of his political viewpoints, of his name, of his country or city or tribe that he comes or she comes from. May the Lord pour this love that as we look at the brothers and the sisters across all borders, we look at them and we look at them as one of us and not one of them. Let us pray. As we pray, I want you just to take this to heart and reflect in a few seconds about the words that have been said. Some of them might apply to you directly for the way of living that you've been living in, the way you have lived. Please, if the Lord does point his finger on a certain attitude that you have, a certain feelings that you have, may you please, by God's grace, bring those feelings and attitudes before God. And may you please ask him, Lord, I really, from the bottom of my heart, I want to live in unity with my brethren, with every one who is called by your name. It just in a lot of cases I don't know how. A lot of cases I don't have opportunities. May you open these opportunities to me. And as we reflect on this, and if there are points in our hearts where need to be straightened out because of a certain hurt that I have, because of a certain bad experience that I experienced, maybe it's about time to bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, heal me. Lord, change me. And this could become your vow this morning to become a peacemaker. Not just to stand in balance in between, but rather become a bridge that gives you the opportunity not just to stand in between, rather to live on both sides. And it has to take a decision from your heart. We're not going to wait. Just Lord, bring it about. Lord, we want to decide now to work for the unity of your body. Maybe I have hints how to do it. Maybe I don't have yet hints how to do it. My prayer, Lord, teach me how. I don't want to ask you for commitment. The Lord is asking you to commit yourself to that. And if it is something in line of what God has been speaking into your life this morning, I'm the first one to stand before you, committing my life to do so. If you want to stand with me, you're invited to stand with me and say, Lord, here I am. Use me to become a peacemaker. Use me to become a bridge builder. And more so, to become the bridge itself, so that people across all borders. And I'm not here just speaking of Jewish and Arab thing. I'm not just speaking of a Messianic or a Palestinian thing. I'm speaking of across all borders. It could be a Messianic and a Messianic thing, or an Arab and Arab thing, or just everything. God is looking for His body that is united. And I'm one of them. I'm part of that. And I want to be used more and more for His glory, so that His body will be strengthened, edified, and used to reach the lost for His name. So whoever His prayers, or your prayer within that lines, would you please stand with me and pray that prayer? Jesus, you prayed for the unity of your body. And as you prayed, Lord, you're omnipresent, you're omniscient, Lord. You're everywhere. You know that there were people that will stand on this very moment, Lord, to commit their lives to live for the unity of your body. Just becoming in tune with your heart, Lord, for the world and for your church. Lord, you said, I will build my church. You will build your church. And the gates of hell, the gates of Hades will not stand before it. It will not just can even handle it when your church is united, when your church stands together to live for the cause of causes, the gospel of the salvation for the whole world. And as this people, Lord, stood up, those who stood up and those who committed their lives, I pray for them, Lord, that you give them the tools. Or first you give them the heart and the attitudes, so that wherever they are, in whatever setting, in whatever position they find themselves in, they speak good of your body. And they bless your body here in this land and anywhere else. I pray for them, Lord, that they may live as peacemakers and receive this blessing that comes from you for those peacemakers, Lord. For you will give them, Lord, an abundant, overflowing life, because how good, how pleasant it is for brother to dwell together. That is your heart, Lord. I pray for those who are praying, Lord, for a change of heart, for a change of attitudes, that you may, Lord, give them the strength by the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit that is not a spirit of fear, neither a spirit of weakness. It is a spirit of power. It's a spirit of love, a spirit of wisdom. Pour on us, Lord. We need your spirit, Lord. Pour on us, Lord, spirit of love that is, nobody even could stand before that love. Because, Lord, as your love capture us, Lord, as your love surrounds us, may our love as well surround those who are around us. Because we want to be like you, Lord. Lord, forgive us from the ways of the evil one. Forgive us from the dominion of the evil one. Forgive us, Lord, of the thinking of the evil one, which wanted just to cause strife and disunity. We speak against that in Jesus' name. And we pray as we all standing here, Lord. Lord, use us as tools of peace. Not just any peace, we're not talking about a political, Lord, we're talking about shalom. We're talking about the wholeness of people, which starts only in the salvation of their hearts and lives. pour in us your spirit, Lord, to live in your love and wisdom and power. Lord, we are not weak people, Lord. We are your people, Lord. You are the Lord of lords and King of kings. You will not just give us any spirit, you'll give us your spirit. And it's a spirit that overcomes all darkness. It's a spirit that overcomes all sins that are in our lives that want us to stay away from you, Lord. Pray for holiness among your people. I pray, Lord, for strength that they live your life for the nations. And as the people look at them, as the people look at us, they know that we are your disciples by the love that we have for each other, for the unity that we're living, Lord, with each other. And they will glorify you for the good deeds they're seeing in our lives. I bless these people, Lord, as we continue to live for you. We need, Lord, as much strength as we could, because there are all kind of schemes that want to just trap us. Give us the wisdom and the understanding, and open the eyes of our hearts, open our ears, over our eyes, to see what you are preparing for us, and to always look at you. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. To you and to you alone be the glory. Amen. Please be seated.
Amen. Thank you, Jack. Maybe we could sing a song just before we go. I think like Jack was saying, what more powerful message is there than that to those around us? What stronger proof of the love of God is there than that unity? What stronger argument is there for the love of God than that unity? Maybe we can just sing this song and